Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Thank you, Jesus. God bless you this morning. And again, thank you so much for coming. You don't realize what you demonstrate in being here today. You are the motivation of my conversation with you this morning. I simply titled this message, The Drifters. Just simply The Drifters, The Price of Drifting. And you are a great motivation to me because you are here. And I've come to learn and see that over this past at least year now of what we're going through as a nation, there is a certain group of people other than ourselves. We have the unbelievers and we have the believers. Obviously, two major categories of which we are either one or the other. I pray that if you are an unbeliever today, you would give your life to Jesus. He is worthy and he is able to make your life a joy as he has all of you. Can I get a witness this morning? It's good to worship the Lord. Amen. It's good to be a Christian. I love the fact that it's good to be a Christian. It's good to be a believer, to have someone to hang on to know that we have real promises and we don't have a God that commits fraud, that lies to us and things like that. But we have a God who is faithful in everything he says. His word is true. Hallelujah. The Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will remain true forever. Hallelujah. And that's the God that we serve. And I'm glad that that word belongs to me and to you. Can you say amen for that? Amen. But there are two groups of people in this world, and there's the birthing of a new group of people I want to make you aware of today. We have the believers. Do I have any believers in the house? And we have, yes, hallelujah. And then we have the unbelievers. Do we have any unbelievers? I don't expect you to raise your hand. I can imagine, me, I'm an unbeliever, man. I don't believe anything you say. But they're unbelievers. But then there's another group that has just been born, and I think they've been around a long time, but certainly they are noticeable now, and that is the drifters. The drifters is another very now getting to be popular group of people. And all of this is a result of what we've been going through in our life today. Because of what we're going through as a nation, because of what we're going through as a family, because of what we're going through physically, we have been the cause of a birth of a new group people, a group of people. And let me not get ahead of myself, but let me just encourage you to understand that God has called us to live a continuous and perpetual walk in glory. The Bible says from glory to glory. The Bible says that the promises of Christ are always yes and amen. This is a perpetual walk. There's no hiccups in our walk with God. There's no times for limbo, separation, or this or the other. God has promised us a continual walk in glory. No stopping, no holding back, no, I'll catch you on the rebound and hope we'll hang on this year because you're in trouble. I can't do anything for you this year. No, God said, I'm going to bless you and keep you going from glory to glory. And that excites me today because regardless of what we go through in our lives, there's victory up ahead for us in Christ Jesus. Always victory up ahead. We have that wonderful passage in the book of Psalms, it said, though weeping lasts through the night, it's a guarantee that rejoicing comes in the morning. The Lord will never leave us hanging in a mortuary or in a funeral house or singing dirges and sad songs of departure. But he's promised us to give us a song of deliverance always. I think that our primary identifying song should be when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing it will be. He said, wake up singing that song every morning. Why? Because we're on our way to heaven. It's a continual walk. For all of us here today, those of us who are serving the Lord, there are no hiccups in our walk with God. The Bible says in Revelation 1 and 3, blessed is the one who reads these words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart, what is written in it. Take it to heart what is written in this word. And the word reads to us that we are a blessed, continually blessed people. And God wants us to continue in our walk with Him so that we can continue in that perpetual glorious walk in Him regardless of what we go through. That God always intends every morning to bless those who hunger for truth and righteousness according to the word. Come what may, let it be by storm, drought, or even virus. Come what may, we must continue embracing the word of God. That is the life that God has given us to live. It's important for us to seek God's word daily. It's important for us to keep seeking God in our relationship with Him on a daily basis. It's His relationship that gives us strength and comfort, gives us counsel, it leads us, it trains us, perfects us, corrects us, and prepares us for heaven. That's what He does for us on a daily basis. This is why it's important for Him to meet with us on a daily basis. It's why it's important for us to always walk with Him on a daily basis. Why? Because it's preparing us for that glorious day to be with Him. The Bible says that He wants to meet with us. And there's a purpose behind this. 2 Timothy reads in chapter 3 verse 17. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God wants us prepared. God wants us trained. God wants us ready for what comes in this world and what will come after this world. And so there is a great word of warning and counsel in Scripture that I will read to you this morning, and it reads as follows, and it's out of Hebrews 12 and 3. Consider Him who endured opposition from sinful men. And who is that? Christ. He endured opposition from the sin of this world and sinful men who embraced everything that is contrary to Christ. But He said this. He said, consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men. Look at His life so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Again, all of these things that I'm telling you this morning are to encourage you and let you know that if you've been walking on a daily basis with God, you're doing a great job. Because this is exactly what God wants from us. He doesn't want you to disappear from church for 6 or 7 months or a year or what have you and then come back and, oh, I gotta come back. Well, why did you leave in the first place? Oh, Pastor, I gotta come back. Yes, you do have to come back. We find that in the presence of the Lord, there is abundance of joy. There is blessing ever after, the psalmist cried out. And so God wants us to remain steadfast in Him. And remaining steadfast, ladies and gentlemen, is what I really want to converse with you about today. Because there are a people today who have forgotten to walk continuously in the Lord. And who now are simply drifting. There's no effort anymore. There's no consideration about the walk that we have initially had with God. You're still here, and so I don't consider you drifters. But there is a group of people, even, please don't be offended, that even possibly from this group that we were before, that have turned into drifters. Certainly, not only in this church, but in churches all together abroad, I've spoken to other pastors, and they've told me how difficult it is to really gather the flock of people right now, because they've lost interest in their walk with God. They've not lost interest in living. They're still barbecuing and moving out and doing all these things that are enjoyable to life. But when it comes to God, they've decided to drift. The question of the hour for all of us, and I want to thank everyone who is watching us online and whatever platform you have found us on. Thank you for joining us this morning, and I pray that the Lord would speak to your heart as well. That God would speak to your heart right there in the comfort of your home. If you're sitting down and watching this program right now, I speak to you as I'm hopefully looking at the right camera, speaking to you right now. I hope this stirs your heart, wakes it up, to take you back to where you were before. And I'm not saying or implying anything, but just in case you have now find yourself in a new membership of group, the Drifters, I pray that the Lord would grab you by the neck of your heart and stir you and tell you, this is not what I intended. I want you walking next to me just like it was before. Regardless of the interruption and what we have faced today, don't ever let that change your continued walk with God. Can I get an amen this morning? Don't let it ever change. And I say that carefully because we all have the potential of falling into that group. I would take the challenge and say that some of us got a little taint of it as we moved about. And that we have to really kind of struggle a little bit. Let me go. I got to get back to church. And you got away and here you are. We have God to thank for that. Because all of us have that potential to join that drifting group. And so the question of the hour for all of us here today and at home is, are you part of that group today? Are you drifting today? There's a story that I read by the name of a man, Bill Norris. He writes of a tragic event that resulted from drifting. And he writes and he says, two young men were fishing above a low dam on a river near their hometown. And as they were concentrating on catching fish, they were unaware that they had drifted until they were not far from rushing water flowing over a dam. When they realized their situation, the current near the dam had become too powerful for them to keep their boat from going over. Below the dam, the water was dashing with strong force over great boulders and through crevices in the rocks. And caught by the swirling waters, these two young men, under the rocks, they never came to surface. After days of relentless searching, the divers finally found one body. And then two or three days later, they found the other. They were fishing, having a good time, but they ignored the fact that they were upon a moving river. And when you are upon a moving river, unless you pay attention to that direction, and you put away your oars and you begin to do other stuff and you begin to occupy in other things, you forget that that boat of yours is still moving. It's still moving. And I don't know how many of us know this, but let me inform you today that every moving river, it never flows uphill, upwards. It always flows downward. And if you are in the right place, there's normally a dam. And there is a certain amount of distance between that dam and that once calm river that you didn't even notice was really moving you until finally your boat begins to rock. And then all of a sudden you look and you see no more river. You just see a drop. And by that time you try to get your oars to go back. But the force is too strong. And over the cliff you go. And at the bottom there's normally big rocks and crevasses. And things where people, so many thousands of people over the years have fallen over and broken their heads and their bodies as they've hit those jagged rocks at the bottom of that dam. The dangers of drifting in a river can be applied, and I'd like to apply it this morning to the river that we are on today in our walk with God. To fall over a dam and to break your body and die In the physical is one thing, but there is also a spiritual death that many over the years have suffered. People that have ignored the currents of that river and began to do other things and enjoy themselves, that by the time they woke up, the current that they were on got so swift and fast they were unable to shake themselves from it and get control of their lives again, that they went over that spiritual dam and have fallen to, sadly, a very horrible spiritual death. The Bible tells us that once we accept Christ, God sets our course. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you. I've already set a course for you. I have already put you on a river, and the plan for your life on that river is that you pay attention to that river, because that river is going to take you to blessings and greater glory. But in the same chapter, you keep going a little bit and you'll find where he has to challenge the people. He says, hey, you're at a crossroad. Something's happening. Ask for the ancient path. Find out which direction that river was going in, and get your oars out and get it in gear again. And you will find that rest that you've been losing. As we begin our eternal relationships with Him, our destiny is designed to take us from glory to glory. Never again to fall back to sin. Never again to take us back where He found us, lost, without hope. And so we are constantly in Scripture reminded to hold on to salvation, Hebrews 2:1. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not, what? Drift away. This mic is dying, brothers. Or it's drifting away, my friend. We must pay more careful attention so that what we have heard, we keep practicing, unless we drift away. We are told scripturally that we are to build up our salvation in reverence and fear, as in Philippians 2:12, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That is, stay aware. God's put you on a river that's going to take you from glory to glory, so work it out. Keep going. Not to ignore the river we've been placed on. It's not a free ride. It's not something that God gives you, as many suppose. Well, if you believe in Him, that's it. Live your life. Enjoy yourself. Ignore everything else. And you'll see, when you wake up one day, you'll wake up in heaven. No, it doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. I wish. If that was true, then I could tell you we're wasting our time here at church. We could out there be barbecuing and having a great time anyway. We've said yes to Christ, and therefore, however we look at this journey we're on, is going to take us to glory anyway, but that's not the way it is. This is why we're called to pay careful attention, to work out our salvation with trembling. But we forget that. As thousands of Christians have, I believe, today. And because of that, they are laying in pieces and torn up on the jagged rocks at the bottom of killing rivers in life. So I come to tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, God does not want that to be you. God doesn't want that to be us in this river. He wants us to stay saved, to stay alert, to be sober. This morning you woke up rowing your boat and it led you to church. But what if you had put up your oars and said, well, let's see where the river of today takes me. You might end up in jail somewhere. You might end up somewhere else that's not convenient for you. But you got up and you took your oars and you got on that boat and you got on that river and you begin to paddle, and you know it's difficult. Right now for me, ladies and gentlemen, coming to church is one of the most difficult things I could do. I go and I take a shower, I come back, and I stand there for my wife to help me put my pants on. I put my shirt on and everything else, and I have to wait there and hold on to the wall while she puts my socks on. Then poor thing has to pull my boots on. Sometimes I just rather say, you know what, Mom, no. No. Let me just lay down. Let me just stay here. You're going to break your back trying to help me. She goes, no. You sit right there. I'll put them on. And I love my wife ever so much because of the tenacity. And sometimes I feel the joy she finds in being a help to me. I'm so thankful. And this is why I'm here today and I'm dressed. And I'm not just standing here. I was just wearing a shirt. Because that's all I can put on by myself. We'd fill up this house real quick, wouldn't we? But it's the hardest thing. And today you got up and you decided to get those oars and begin the paddle. And maybe hubby wasn't that excited about coming, but you start rowing. The kids may say, hey, Mom, today I wanted to go play baseball. You started rowing hard. And then you ended up here in the parking lot, and it was still difficult all the way to the door. But now you're sitting there and going like, we're here. Hallelujah. We're here. Praise God. And so God has called us to get saved and stay saved. But I want to speak to you, if I can, just a little bit. And I'll do this again this coming Sunday to finish off. I won't finish today. And I want to just give you the characteristics of what it takes to be a drifter, if that's okay. I want to give you the characteristics of someone who rides off on a lazy river and just lets it go. A drifter. What does it take to be a drifter? Everybody say with me, nothing at all. Nothing at all. This is why it's so awesome. Because it requires no sacrifice to be a drifter. All you got to do is get on the boat, sit back and go to sleep if you want. And you're a drifter. Because that boat is going to go according to the movement of the river that you're on. You don't have to pull out your, you don't even have to take oars. Nothing. You just get in the boat and do absolutely nothing. This is why so many people enjoy drifting. Because to not drift means that you're going to go upriver. And it's upriver, it's quite a difficult thing sometimes. Nobody likes to work on it on a daily basis. So you say, you know what, I'm tired. Drop the order, throw them overboard and just sit back and put out a bologna sandwich and sit there and just let this thing take you wherever you go. It takes nothing to be a drifter. There are Christians today that were once on fire for God who are losing and becoming numb in their walk with God because what they've decided to do is absolutely nothing about their salvation. Nothing. Just lay there. Enjoy yourself. Don't even look at the water around. Don't even look at what's around you. There are trees or it's open land. You just get in there and let it go. And there are Christians today, ladies and gentlemen, who are not looking around at anything. They're not looking at the currents in the river. They're not looking at the surroundings. They're just occupied in what they want to be doing on their own without knowing that even though they're just looking like this, they're going like this. Down the river. And let it be just them, or sadly enough, some will take their whole families all together. We will begin to drift away. And the more you drift, the more you'll lose control of that boat. Because as I said, the closer you get to the waterfall, the more
out of control your boat will become. And this, I can say, has happened to those members who have loosened themselves because of drifting from their membership at church and coming to church faithfully as they used to on Wednesdays and Sundays. Being a part of the ministry on fire, helping row this big ship we call Rock of Ages towards glory, to glory in Christ. We forgot to listen carefully to the message. We've put louder music on. We forgot the whole premise of the mission that we're on, what God wants us to do. Why? Because we've chosen simply to drift. And the more we drift, the ever so numb we become to the things of the Lord. The wider the separation between us and God, we become more distant because we're going opposite in direction. How many know that the psalmist said, I will lift my eyes up to the hills. Rivers always run uphill. You know, in Zacatecas, I don't know who's ever been out there, but I went on a mission trip one time years ago. And in that place, do the research and you'll find, you can go up the mountains, as I did with this missionaries that I was with. I went up there to preach a revival. It was a 2-week thing that we did all the way to Veracruz. Pastor San Juan de los Lagos, Tepic, Nayarit, Zacatecas, Guadalajara, and all these places we went to preach. It's a continual 2-week constant service for us. I was exhausted. But they took us up a hill and And there's a river that runs through the middle of the city. And it's not a river really. It's probably no more wider than right here to right here. And people wash their clothes there. And kids jump in there in tubes. And they go down the river and enjoy themselves. But they took us to this place where they drove us up. And we stood at the hill. Maybe somebody's been there. I don't know. But they took us up to the side to an oversight look, a looking area. And we looked at the city and we saw the river. And you know the river was going like this. That's the only river that I've ever seen that goes uphill. And how many know that's impossible? I sat there and I go like, he goes, Pastor, look at the river. I'm going like, okay. And I saw kids playing in the river and they were going uphill. And I go like, what? Shouldn't they be going that way? He goes, look at it carefully. And the kids were playing on tubes and stuff. And in about 15, 20 minutes, they were way up there. He goes, it's just an eye thing that where we're standing on this hill that's slanted. And he explained to me, and I don't know if I believed him or not, but I couldn't understand I wasn't standing on my side like this. But the way we were standing, I could see the river going up there. So if there's one river, I've seen that river that goes up. But all other rivers in this world go down. And that's what God has called us to do, to not go down, but to go up. The more we go down, the more separated we come in our relationship with Christ. The more numb we become to the things He has for us. There are people today, because of the virus, because of other things, that have become numb. Now it's an easy excuse to not go to church. And you think if you don't go to church, you actually spend time in prayer and witnessing and all these things. No, because you can turn the barbecue on Sunday mornings. You can promise to watch the service later on in the day, but you don't. And again, I don't want to be too critical because there are people who can't come right now. I understand that. And they do watch the service and they're still on fire for God. And I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about that group of people that have joined the drifters. I've talked to some of our members here at Rock of Age, and I say, hey, I hope to see you in church. I'll see you in church. We've been having a great service. We got a good group of people coming out. Yeah, so how you been, Pastor? Yeah, I'm doing great, man. Missing you at church, man. Yeah, yeah. How's your back? And we become evasive. Why? Because we're not part of the team that's on fire for God. We're part of the drifters. So what does it take to be a drifter? Absolutely nothing. You want to become a drifter? Just get in that little kayak that God has given you called life and do nothing about your Christianity and your walk with God. Don't even look at the challenges and the things and the undercurrents that come to throw you off board. Don't worry about those. Just sit back, get a sandwich out, and enjoy the ride. And I promise you, what happened to those boys, sadly, spiritually, will happen to those who are drifting along the river of life, doing nothing. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but one thing I do is I press on. I don't put my oars down. I keep rowing, man. I keep rowing. I have not made it all the way yet. And sometimes it pushes me back and I got to do more. Why? Because I've got to get up to my Savior. I've got to move forward. One thing I do is that I take hold of that for which Christ has taken a hold of me. He wants me to fight against those currents and stay on course. And so I want to invite those of you who are watching us online. Remember, you used to not miss a service on Sunday. Come back home. Everybody say loud, come back home. I hope you heard that. Come back. We're having a great time. It's not the same being at home as being in church. It's not the same listening to worship over the radio or television, whatever. It's always better here at home. This is what the Lord wants. So we want you to come back. Get busy and start rowing. Secondly, drifting. It's a thoughtless process. One, you do nothing. The second thing is your mind goes everywhere but as to what you're doing. You don't have to have great deep thinking if you're going to become part of the drifting group. You don't have to put any thought into it. You don't have to think about drifting to become a drifter. You can just let your mind go and think about nothings and become an excellent and professional drifter. Why? Because there are currents under that river. There are forces under that river that will think for you. Are you following me this morning? There are currents that will think about how to maneuver your kayak without you putting any thought to it. There are undercurrents that your boat will be wrestling with on his own without you having participate anything. In this world that we live in today, there are divisive spirits and worldly influences that are already ready to move your little kayak down the river to the place that they want to take you. You just let it go. Don't think about it. Let it ride. Don't worry about it. Learn to accept whatever your little ship does. Let it shake, let it rock, let it turn around, let it do whatever. Don't put any thought into it. You'll become a professional drifter regardless whether you put your mind to it or not. Christians today drift into darkness because they've lost their minds and they let their minds just drift off. They just go with the flow. They just get in and say, you know what, since we're on something here, let it take us wherever it wants to take us. You don't pay attention to the pulpit you sit in front of. You don't pay attention to the things you hear that are trying to teach you and influence your spirit and your heart. You just accept everything. You have no thinking. You think that's true? I don't know. I don't think about it. I just go with the flow. You know, one of the saddest things for me, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how fast I'm going, how slow. Somebody have? Oh, it's time to go. You got time for this just a little bit more? Yeah. Thank you. There's a great sadness in my heart because we've had members here at Rock of Ages, beautiful, and they're still wonderful people. I love them all. I still see many of them on the road. But when they were here, they were conscientious. They were smart. They were thinking. I preached the gospel, and I've always taught you to be like the Bereans in Scripture. When the Bible said would hear Paul preach, and then they'd go home and to see what he said was true. They put thought into it. And the Bible tells us to test every spirit. Put some thought to it. Whatever you receive from a pulpit, don't just sit there and say, yeah, he said, so that's what it is. I've never told you to accept anything I say. Look at it in Scripture. Look at it in Scripture. I'm speaking to your soul. I'm speaking to the souls of your children. Now, this is not very beneficial to a guy like me as a pastor who wants everybody to come to his church. But I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you. I want you to look at the Word of God. This is why I encourage you. Read the Word. What if I told you something completely erroneous? I'm jealous to think of how many would just say, well, yeah, pastor said, and we love pastor. He's been with us for 26 years. And I will lie to you all the way down to the dam, that crashing dam that'll take your soul. But I've seen people who were here conscientious of the gospel and knowing around what was getting preached by certain people that is offset and not right biblically, and today they're sitting right in front of their pew. And I've asked a couple, what are you doing there? I mean, I don't care. You can go wherever you want. It doesn't bother me. I'm not in a numbers game. I figured out that the more members I have, the more problems I have. Not you. I can't handle my family, man. But I said, well, what are you doing there? Oh, it's great. Oh, it's great now. Yesterday you said that you knew that it was a sacrilegious thing, and the teachings and the preachers they were teaching, you went and found out that they were wrong, but now you're there? And the whole idea of the glassy eyes is basically saying, I don't even think about that anymore. I just sit there. I need to go somewhere, and I like that there because my kids like that, the fact that they have Nintendos in the gym. Or they give us coffee and cookies for the service. And so you put no attention to the doctrine that they're teaching you. It's all the same, isn't it? No! No, it's not. I'm sorry, man. And I don't care if you come back to Rock of Ages or not, but you need to pay attention to which way your boat is drifting, my friend. I care about your soul. Don't come back. Don't ever come back. Keep going west. But please don't ever sit in front of a pew without putting your mind to the doctrine they're teaching you. Never. I understand that across the valley you may find a pastor or two that hates to be argued or corrected. But come on, bring it on. A good speaker begins by being a good listener. And I'll listen to you. And we'll see if you're right. And if you're right, thanks. Because my boat itself could have been drifting a little bit. I need to turn around and start going the other way. When I read and I write, I always put my thought and my heart to what? I test the spirit. And today, to become a professional drifter, take your thinking cap off, and you'll do just fine. 1 John 4:1, and I begin to close. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Acts 17, I just mentioned this passage to you. Acts 17:11, now the Bereans were more noble, were of noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. But you see what the scripture is calling them? they were more noble. You know why they were more noble? Because they didn't accept just anything people told them. And poor thing, you mentioned the Thessalonians. Obviously, they were not more noble than these other guys. It's kind of like saying, these guys here, the Bereans were smarter than the Thessalonians. They were dumb. The Thessalonians received anything that they were told as the gospel, but not the Bereans. They were more noble than the Thessalonians. Every time they heard him preach, they would go home and say, did he say that Jesus could do this? Ah, yeah, Jesus can do that. Did he say that we could live our lives this way and we will be blessed? Yeah, we can be blessed. He's not lying to us. He's giving us the truth. We're not going to be part of the drifting team. We're going to put our minds to the direction our kayak is going. 1 Corinthians 14 and 29, two or three prophets should speak and the others should weigh carefully what is said. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 21, test everything and hold on to the good. So how can I put this in layman's terms as I close? One, if you want to become a professional drifter, I speak to those of us here in the house and those at home. Do nothing. Don't do anything. Just get on the boat of life and let it drag you wherever it wants. But I give you fair warning, it will take you certainly to certain death down a dam. Some people think that if they don't think about Jesus at all or get into this Christianity thing, heaven will just go, he'll just bypass you because you don't know nothing about it. No, no, no. The Lord used to forgive ignorance. He doesn't anymore. There's not an ignorant soul in this world. Even the indigenous people of the rainforest say, that's the moon god. They know about superior authorities. There's no foolishness when it comes, or not lack of knowledge when it comes about gods. But all you have to do is nothing. I don't like to get into the religious thing, man. I don't go to church because it's a religious thing. I just don't like to get into that stuff, man. You guys want to, you got time. I don't have time to waste. I don't get into this religious junk. Don't do anything, and I promise you, you'll find yourself as those two young men. And secondly, I don't think about these things. I'm just here because I like the ambience, and I don't put any thought to what's being said to me. I don't put any thought to God's word. I don't put any thought to the direction I'm going. It's no big deal. It's just that way. That's my destiny. I have accepted whatever direction my life goes. They're the saved, the unsaved, and there's a new group. And what are they called? The drifters. I pray this morning as I ask you to stand that you're not part of the drifting team. Thank God that you're here today. But there could be somebody in this house today who kind of begins to familiarize with what I'm talking about today. If that's you, listen, God's asking you to wake up, start working on that life and Christianity. Start working on directing your ship in the right direction with the Lord's help. Begin to think about what God is telling you, what He wants you to do. Begin to think about your life. Think about where you're headed. Today, with all of this stuff that's going around, this administration that wants to come in, and you know, we're going to face a difficult time in Christianity. Please listen to me carefully. When you have an administration that wants to take God out of everything, statues that say "In God we trust" are going to be torn down. Money, currency, "In God we trust" is going to be changed. When they swear people in, "So help you God," is out. They won't be able to pray in school. Official meetings and conferences, city and government will never be able to use "So help us God." When they swear this new president in, if that's what God is going to allow, I guarantee you it'll be a slim thing. But I don't think they'll use the Bible to put their hand on it because it's offensive. It's offensive. So right now, can you think of how much more dangerous it's going to be for the drifters? For us here today, we need to get our oars out, shine them up, and start going, ladies and gentlemen. Come on, let's start going. Let's start moving forward. Keep going. And if someone comes to try to divert us, let's use that oar and smack them with it. Hallelujah. Let's get those oars in the water and let's start moving us forward. And if someone comes to mislead our children with all this baloney that they're trying to teach, use your oar. Moses used his rod. Let's row our boats towards glory. There's no drifters in this house today. Hallelujah. No drifters. We're going from glory to glory. And for those of you at home, as we close, please listen to God's word. Put some thought into what I've just said to you today. It comes from the heart of God. Don't just sit there anymore. This coming Sunday, get up, get dressed just like you used to for all those years. And we'll see you here at church. We're going to wait for you in church. Amen. You've got a community of people waiting for you. Hallelujah. How many say amen this morning? No drifters in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.